As you grow up, young people, you will often meet questions like, would you like to join me? Or would you like to come along with me? Maybe you will get an offer and someone sees you very skillful and they say, would you like to work for our company? You have skills and I would like you to be part of us. Maybe someday you'll be asked to serve on a board or to be an office bearer if you are one of our males or boys. So you will get those questions. But for many years, someone has been asking you a question already. And that someone is Jesus. And this morning, he's going to ask you that question again. And the question is, will you be my disciple? Will you follow me? It's not the first time that you have heard that question. My main text this morning is Proverbs 23:26. My son and my daughter, give me your heart. Our older ones have heard this question. I heard it when I was young. You all have heard this question. And this morning, it will particularly be laid at the heart of our young. But that doesn't mean that when you're old that this question is not applicable to you. It's not the first time this question is asked all through the Bible. Incline your ear unto me and hear. Isaiah 55. Revelation 3, we heard this morning, behold, I stand at the door and I knock. You have been knocked on your door many times by Jesus. None of us here have never been knocked on our heart. It is true for you and me, we have eaten and drunk in the presence of Jesus. Jesus has walked into our streets, has walked into our church, has walked into your house. He has walked with you all your life. For many, if not for most of us, we all were born and placed in the pasture ground of the church. I was a sheep hand-picked by my Creator and placed in a Christian family and a Christian church, and so were you. Psalm 95 says that we have been placed as sheep in His pasture. You are one of those sheep in His pasture. And He has been saying to you, give me your heart. And he meant it sincerely. He is the lover of your soul. He loves you as no one ever loved you. This friend of sinners who says to this detestable church in Laodicea, as many as I love, I rebuke. This lover of your soul can say to you and to me, especially all the ones, all day long have I stretched out my hand unto a unbelieving and gainsaying and stubborn people. That's how Jeremiah and Isaiah and Ezekiel were preaching, and so God says to you and me, patiently. This lover of your soul has laid his hand on your forehead if you were baptized. But even if you were not, you have heard from the days you were born, open your mouth and I will fill it. He has generously committed himself to you and me. There is no lack of his generosity and sincerity. And to make sure that you and I never doubt, this lover of your soul has sworn in divine oath and says, as I live, I have no desire in your death. That means I have no desire that you and I live apart from each other. I have no desire for this to continue. And I have no desire for this to continue forever. Turn ye, he says, and live. Why would you die? Why would you live separate from me? And all that is only underlining, young friends, this question, give me your heart. Oh, don't say, I am too young to answer this call. Are you too young to sin? Are you too young to die? Are you too young to go lost forever? And you're not too young to answer Jesus when he calls you. Don't say, I'll answer this question later. Who do you think is talking to you when he says, give me your heart? Who do you think says that? That's Jesus, the voice of wisdom, speaking through Solomon, who's long dead. But that word is alive. And who of you have the authority to say to Jesus, later, Jesus, when it suits me, then I will consider what you say. Try that with your mom and dad today. Try that with your teacher tomorrow. I'll hand in the assignment when it suits me, teacher. And yet somehow you think you can say to Jesus, later, when it suits me better. Give me thine heart today if you will hear my voice. No, listen well. He didn't say, if you hear my voice, you heard his voice. If you will hear my voice. Harden not your heart. Don't think, Pastor, many older ones, even my parents, don't follow Jesus. Yeah. They take me to church and they teach me religion. But I know what they really live for. And my parents don't live for Jesus. They are not converted. They're not decided followers of Jesus Christ. Sadly, children, that is very true also in this church. It's increasingly bothering and burdening my heart. But let me make it clear, what your parents do with the call to Jesus will not help you when you stand before Jesus. You'll stand for yourself. You can't hide behind your parents' bad example. You can't hide behind their shallow Christianity. You cannot hide behind their formal life of church. No. Let the many undecided and lukewarm Christians be a warning to you. What warning? Listen very carefully. You only get a short window of a season of grace. And when you neglect it, it may be over before you die. Now that sounds really solemn, but that is what the scriptures are. Would you please turn in your Bible to John 12 with me? Serious moment in Jesus' ministry. Verse 37, I'll read with you the words of the Lord from John 12, 37. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him, that the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe. Why? Because that Isaiah said again, he has blinded their eyes, and he has hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. There came a moment when Jesus began to turn away from them. These things Isaiah said when he saw his glory. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. Jesus cried and said, he that believeth on me, believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that seeth me, seeth him that sent me. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And if any man hear my words, and believe not. I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words has one that judges him. And the word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me commandment what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. And if you have your Bibles open, and turn to verse 35. And Jesus said unto him, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While you have the light, that means you're not always going to have it, believe in the light, that you may be children of light. And these things spake Jesus, and departed, and did hide himself from them. That happens in churches. That happens here too. When you too long resist the call of Jesus, he may hide himself for you. That's serious, beloved. So don't look today at the unmoved and undecided Christians, but answer him yourself, children. If your mom and dad never take you on your knees when you come out of church to plead, Go on your knees yourself. If they never talk to you about the sermon and you come home, and what does that mean to you, child? And what are you doing with that child? And you do something with the sermon, because you've heard it also. And they don't live out in front of you all day that there is one reason to live. And you ask yourself, Lord, what must I do? And where must I live for? And don't take your parents for your example, but take Jesus for your teacher. And what is Jesus' word this morning? It is this verse from Proverbs 23, verse 26, and I'm going to tie it in with Revelation chapter 3 and a little bit of Luke as well. Text word is short, children, my son. And of course, that's Solomon speaking to his only son. We may also include my daughter. Give me thine heart. And I'll just take those words this morning. Let's think about that together. My son, give me thine heart. First, it's a command. It's not an advice. It's not a request. It's not a question. It's a command. Jesus says, I need your heart. And you are to give it to me. That's a plain command. This is the command of the highest authority. This is your Lord speaking to you. Give me your heart. In Revelation 2 and 3, you notice in your Bibles that maybe red letters. Those are the words of Jesus. He speaks those to the Spirit. Because every letter ends with, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. This morning, I read with you the church of Laodicea. They needed to hear that. Give me your heart. God commands your heart. Your heart. What is your heart? That's who you are. Your heart is what you think. Your heart is the center of your thoughts and the center of your will and the center of your feelings. That's just an all collective word of who you really are. Your heart. Sometimes called in the Bible your glory. Your body is not your glory. That's just a sandcastle. That's decaying and falling apart every day, little by little. But inside of it lives your heart, who you are, what you live for, what you're devoted to, who you're committed to. What are your values? What are your priorities? And we read this morning in the letter to the Laodiceans and the angel of the church, write these things, says the Amen, the faithful and the true witness. There's someone witnessing you right now. There's someone looking right through everything that you are and looking at your heart right now. Jesus is witnessing you. Jesus is witnessing your thoughts. How you sit, come, leave, church. How you live throughout the day, night. He says, I am the faithful one, witness, the true witness. And he says in verse 15, I know thy works. See, they're at work in Laodicea. They work hard. Jesus says, I see you at your work. I see you at your play. I see you are not indifferent and careless about money. I see that you are not lukewarm about the earthly things. I see that you are not cold about the vanities, the pleasures, the earthly goals. I see you working hard to build your business, to build your farm, to increase your property, to enhance it, to make it more. I see all that. I know your works, and I see your heart is in it. I see you're driven. I see you're motivated. I see you apply yourself. I see you get excited. I see you get up early. I see you stay up late. I see all that because I am your witness, you see. I'm walking with you every day. I am listening to you every moment. I am gauging what lives inside of you. I am the witness, the true witness. I know your works. Your heart is neither hot nor cold, but lukewarm. Now, who is she speaking to? She's speaking to me. She's speaking to you. Let's ask ourselves that question. Art thou speaking to me, Jesus? Art thou speaking about me? Is my heart lukewarm? Or am I a modern day Laodicean? Notice Jesus didn't charge any of these people with any gross sins. He didn't charge this church with indulging false prophets like the other ones did. Not telling them, oh, you got the Nicolaitans there and you've got this Jezebel there. No, he doesn't say that about them. He said, I know your work. But I charge you with the most shocking wickedness. You are lukewarm. I wish you were hot or cold, but you are neither. Your heart is lukewarm. Lukewarm, that means you're not making the Christian religion your chief business. You are a Christian, but your heart is not in it. You are a fine Christian, but your heart is not in it. Is that me, Lord? Is that me? You're not decided. You're not committed with all your heart to me. How solemn is it? I will spew thee out of my mouth. That's what Jesus feels like when he looks at lukewarm Christians, in whose streets he walks and to whose heart he talks. I will spew you. I'm quite sickened with you that I am ready to puke you out. That's what the word is really. Spew, puke. Strong words. I am beginning to be a little bit fearful that there are quite a few of us of whom Jesus is speaking here. Lukewarm. I'm sickened with you. Is that me, Lord? Will you please ask that discernment? Is that me, Lord? Art thou sickened with me? After all what thou's done for me, thou seest my heart is not for thee. Lukewarm. He that call young children, young friends, give me your heart. Before you come in that stage of life where the solemn sermon doesn't bother you and where the gospel sermon doesn't bother you. And I'm afraid that there are quite a number here for whom that is true already. Why? Because you have not heeded his call. Give me your heart. Don't trifle with gospel ministry. Don't trifle with the sacred moments when Jesus speaks to you about law and gospel, because he will not always knock on your door. There is a season of grace. We just read out of John 12, where Isaiah 6 is quoted. And if I'm correct, the most often quoted portion of the Bible in the New Testament is Isaiah 6. It's that portion that is the foundation of the instruction God gives to his disciples. When they will not receive you, shake off the dust of your feet and move on. And beloved, that can happen here too. There are times I go home to my study when I have said to Jesus, I have brought thy word again. I have invited them. I have pleaded with them. I have cried in their ears. And Lord, when do I need to stop calling them? When is it the time when I may shake the dust off my feet and move on? As he told me, don't trifle with gospel ministry. It is the most deadly thing to do, my friends. Give me your heart, is the call of the Savior. Let's sing first 138. Thus speaks the Lord to wicked men. My statutes, why do ye declare? And what follows in this summon of God himself in Psalm 138. These things saith the Amen, the faithful and the true witness and the beginning of the creation of God. It is the Creator who is speaking to you tonight, to this morning. The Creator created your heart for Him, not for anyone else, not for any idols, not for any other thing, but He created our heart for Him. This is His place. He has a right for this place. And therefore, every Sunday morning, faithfully, we hear Him speak to us. I am the Lord your God, who's brought you out of the world and placed you within my pasture ground as a sheep lost, yes, and needy, yes, but I'm here for you, and your heart belongs to me. Friends, God is jealous, children, young people. God is jealous when you give your heart to someone else. He is the only one who loves you more than anyone else. And when He sees us giving our heart's love and attention and devotion to someone else, He's jealous. And there is no power and anger more strong than the anger of jealousy. God is jealous for your heart. Yeah, when we sing, and we'll sing again in our closing psalter today from Psalm 95, just listen to how God puts it there. Oh, come and worship. And bow down and let us kneel before the Lord, for He is our God, our Elohim. He is our Creator. That's true, isn't it? Isn't He your Creator? Yes. And we are the people of His pasture. Isn't that true? Aren't you in His pasture? You've been placed there for all those years already. Maybe 10, maybe 15, maybe 20, or maybe much longer. But you've been not only in His pasture. Look what the poet says. We are the sheep of His hand. And the Hebrew means you are the sheep under His care. He's been caring for you. He's been guiding you. He's been calling you, He's been leading you, He's been putting people around you who has been leading you about God. And He says, my child, I need your heart. Young person, I need your heart. I need your heart. And God commands you this morning not only to hear this, but He commands you to strive to give Him your heart. That's why we read from Luke, Jesus walking through the villages. Someone wants to ask, no, Lord, are there few that are saved? And Jesus brushes the whole question off the table. He's saying, don't you worry about that. You worry about being saved. Strive to enter in at straight gate. The word strive is the same word that described Jesus in Gethsemane. Agonize. Agonize. Strive. He commands us to strive to enter in. To wrestle to enter in. To put your body under pressure to enter in. To do everything to make your soul pay attention. And striving is not just coming to church twice on Sunday. Striving is not memorizing your scriptures, children. Striving is not saying your prayers. Striving is to wrestle, to apply violence to yourself, as it were, to be zealous, to do all to enter into that gate of salvation. You can't be slothful about that. You got lusts to fight. You got a hard heart to break. You got an eternity ahead of you, standing perhaps closer than you think. Because not all of us get old. Not all of us get a sick bed. Not all of us get another sermon. And so he says, strive you. Don't worry about the question. That is none of your business how many they'll be saved. You focus on striving to enter into this straight gate, my friends. No one can change our hearts. No one can of us can break the bondage. No one of us can make our heart new. No, I know that. But you cannot expect his assistance if you don't strive. If you're careless in the use of the means, don't expect to be converted. If you're lazy in your work, don't expect to be successful. You say, yeah, that's right. The other one was right too, I just said. You're lazy about your soul, you will knock too late. As Jesus said here. When once the master of the house is risen up, they'll seek to enter, but they shall not be able. Come, young friends, I'm speaking to you today. God says, I know your works. I see you're all hands and heart, and you're all busy on fire. You're all in a hurry and ready to rise up early and to walk long and to do this and that. I don't see your heart striving to know me. I don't see your serious striving about your soul. Trifle not about your heart, my son and daughter. I don't want your time on Sunday. I don't want your tithes in the collection plate. I don't want your outward separation from the world. I don't want your faithful catechism class attendance. I don't want your religious do's and your don'ts. I want your heart. I want your love. I want your devotion. I want you. In your totality. I want your desires. If you're planning to marry and you're withholding your heart, I urge you never to marry. Your heart is the heart of marriage. And that's what Jesus wants. My heart is for you, he says. I'm here totally for you, young person. Jesus says to you, I, as the lover of your soul, open your mouth and I will fill your needs. I'm here for you. My heart is for you. But I want your heart for me too. When we have baptism here again in a few weeks, oh Lord willing, and Jesus visually shows us with laying on of his hand on the forehead of the child, my heart, it's for you. And then you grow up, children, 10, 15, 20, 25. And there are so many in this church who've done that. And they have never returned their heart to God. They made confession of faith, but not with their heart. Not with their heart. It's like marrying someone without your heart. And that's what Jesus is talking about this morning. Give me your heart. And let me conclude with that. He stands before you this morning with a heart full of love. To ignore or to disobey Jesus' call is the most wicked thing you can ever do. That's why Jesus says, you'd better be in Sodom and Gomorrah than having been here all your life, hearing me and hearing my voice. It shall be more tolerable for those people than it will be for you. See, that's what Christ is telling us. You do not just reject a good offer or a fair opportunity or a lifelong partner. No, you reject and you put off the beautiful God and Father, Son and Holy Spirit. And soon, time will give place to eternity. And either you'll be happy or you will continue your vain misery, except in a deeper way than you ever have here. Come. Consider who speaks this morning. God is not just the Almighty in power, He is the infinite in love. He is your Father Creator. He is your benefactor. He is your protector. He's your lawgiver. And He will soon be your judge. And we will stand before our Lord Jesus. Friends, what foolishness and wickedness to trifle in His presence and to treat this best of friends with indifference and to let a season pass that you may never get again. Yeah, don't trifle with gospel ministry. Through Jesus Christ, the most abominable people in the world are lukewarm Christians. Oh, that's a striking thing He says, isn't it? I am ready to spew you out of my mouth. And yet He doesn't end that letter. On that point, He turns around and says, behold, I knock and I stand at your door. And I'm not ready to yet give you up. And again, I call you, open the door and I will come in. Plead this morning with the Son of God. Plead this morning, my friend. Go spend an hour alone today with this scripture before you. And ask Him again, Lord, am I one of these modern day Laodiceans? Rich, I think, but I'm poor. Increased with goods and have need of nothing, and yet I do not know I am wretched and miserable and poor and naked. And yet He stands before you this morning and He says, look, I counsel you to buy of me gold tried in the fire. That gold that He was on Golgotha, when He descended into the fire of God's fiery judgment, and He came out, didn't He, on the resurrection morning. I am the gold. I am the one that can pay your bill. I can make it right between you and your God. Why would you not want me? I am here to clothe your nakedness, for no matter how righteous you make yourself, you are a stinking wretch in my eyes, and in the eyes of God you are rejectable from top to toe. But I have made a robe of righteousness. I live my life perfectly from the beginning to the end, and I offer this robe to you. Why would you not receive it? Say, oh, Pa, I don't see what I need to see. I don't have a feeling for the things you talk about. Well, here I am, Jesus says. I got eyesight for you. I can cure your blind eyes. And I can open your heart. Will you not come to me? Give me your heart that has another side. I am willing to give you my heart and everything with it. Amen. Gracious Lord God, he that has an ear, let him hear what thou hast said unto us this morning. Thou hast come very near to us, Lord, in this decisive hour. And we beseech thee to not let this hour pass without much fruit, that this question may be answered with the soul cry unto thee. Lord, thou knowest that we have given our hearts away, but that is no excuse. And thou knowest, Lord, that we are so filled and perhaps so hardened and so lukewarm and perhaps cold, totally cold. And even that, Lord Jesus, is for thee no obstacle to save. Thou rose from the dead. And can thou not take our hearts this morning and make them what they need to be? Yes, Lord. Bless this word and let it have fruit to thy glory. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.